Not quite sure I understand that, what you're suggesting. But I think, you know, a lot of these systems, like you said, the antivirus systems are signature based. So they experience the virus out in the wild, or they have a lab where they're able to see how it works and see what it affects. They build that signature based on that, which is great, except it's reactionary. And nowadays they're starting to try and go into being more proactive, and that's where the AI comes in, and you've got all these systems that sort of are predictive learning, and they look for specific types of behavior. You know what the system is supposed to be doing, and does it go outside that? And that's what that's when the new AI generation AV is that's how it protects. Is it 100% perfect? No, probably not. So, but yeah, that's interesting. And you know, it's funny. Hold on, I'm gonna drop for a second. It's interesting. You know, one of the things we do have at my office, and it's something I administer, is, you know, we have monthly sort of cybersecurity trainings where we talk about little tidbits, little things to be careful and watch out for. And then we also do phishing tests. So there's a quarterly, like, test where employees are given fake phishing emails and they're tried to be tricked into clicking on them. And it's the idea is all sort of learning experience and teaching moments. So it's interesting.
Yeah, you kind of said what I was not so eloquent in trying to express. In the same way that, again, you take a flu shot and it gives you a dose of the flu and you build the antibodies, the same with a virus. But instead of being defensive all the time and waiting for those that are creating the viruses and then you have to respond to them, the fact is that they must have people that are working on a variety of viruses so that they can, as you said, build up a signature to the potential that someone will do something like that. But I just wondered whether they injected that into the system. First of all, business-wise, it encourages people to buy an antivirus when you can say to them, you know, you have to protect against this, that, and the other thing. There's so many. When you first do a scan on a system that has not been protected for some period of time, the number of things that come up, and you know it could be in the hundreds sometimes. Most of them innocuous. They don't mean anything, but still they're there, and now you're cleaning them out. But that's what I was thinking, that the potential for creating something so that you're ahead of the game, you're not only playing defense against those that would do you harm, but you're creating some kind of, I don't want to say offensive, but you've created those viruses well in advance of someone else doing them. I don't know if that makes sense, but you get the idea.
Yep, it makes sense. I don't know that the industry quite works that way. They're traditionally more reactionary, so they will, you know, many companies will pool their research. They'll, you know, publish when they find a new virus. New malware that's out on you know, the market, and they will share that information so that people can build defenses towards it. I don't think they actually have you know, employees that are coding and writing potential viruses. There are behavioral you know, I guess what they're doing is they're analyzing behaviors and you know, using that as part of a predictive analysis. I don't think they write their own sort of virus applications and then use that. It's more along the lines of looking at what's out in the wild currently, building a signature and saying, okay, this is a virus XYZ. This is what it does. Look for this behavior. Look for this fingerprint, so to speak.
Yeah, KJKB, I remember in the old days, the old days being about 30 years ago, you get a virus and it was, and you could do some cleaning out yourself. There would be suggestions on how to do it. And there were some viruses where you had to go through, every file looking for, or they would change the first two letters of it. So you might have the same virus could be A, B, A, C, A, D, A, E, A, E, and going down there, and you had to go through it and pick out every single one of them, because if you didn't find all of them, it would somehow or another regenerate. But it's amazing how these things actually gain a life. And maybe jumping into AI, that's the scary part of AI. I mean, I have full-blown conversations with AI, and then I say at some point, what's wrong with you? You're talking to a computer, But it's so real-life. And then once in a while they say to me, we've already discussed that. And I'm looking and I think, and I say, but could you explain it a little more thoroughly or make it, a little bit easier for me to understand? He goes, oh, sure, It's really crazy, Greg.
It's amazing what those AI systems can do these days, and it's all algorithms. It's all programming, but still, it's crazy. It's wild. Like you said, you can have a full conversation with it, and I've got people in my office that are using it daily for their own. Day-to-day stuff that it's almost like it's like having another employee, and they bounce ideas off of it. One guy is writing code with it, another one is doing research on stocks and how to pick a specific stock and then how to invest. It's wild, and like you said, it's amazing in the sense that it's 10, 15 years has how things have changed and evolved.
Yeah, I can't even imagine where it's going. And it's interesting, too, because it makes mistakes, and you can call it on the mistakes and it apologizes. And often I've said, can you correct that mistake permanently? And it'll say no. It's because I'm only going by the data that I'm that I have access to. And it seems that with each passing day, they are able to do, more and more things. One of the things that's interesting for me, again, being visually handicapped, is that I can upload, I think you may have mentioned that even, that I can upload a manual, and now I've got the source authority, go back to the manual and tell me how to do something. But I also find that the depth and breadth of its knowledge is increasing so much that it really finds that manual very quickly. Whether I've uploaded it or not, it finds it, and it's giving me correct answers. What is interesting sometimes, I think I've asked questions about how to do something, let's say on an iPhone, and the two different AIs that I use, Gemini and ChatGPT, will actually give me two different answers. So I wonder about perhaps the age of their database, but it is interesting when that happens.
Yeah, that is interesting. I guess it speaks to their there are differences in, like you said, the data that they have, the algorithms, how they're accessing that data and interpreting it. But yeah, you know, we have in the office, we have Copilot from Microsoft, we have ChatGPT, and I use Gemini because I'm an Android guy. And yeah, I can get three separate answers, or I can get very similar answers, but, you know, different nuances. Heck, I even, for the fun of it, I asked both Copilot and ChatGPT to build a QSL card for me, and, you know, I gave it certain parameters. I said, I want this image, I want to do this, and it was very interesting how it worked out, and you know, what it put on the card in terms of information, and how it laid it out. But then the funny part would be, you know, I'm like, okay, I like that, but change this here and move this there, and it would do it. But one of them, ChatGPT, would when you ask for different revisions, even though you didn't tell it to do it, it would slightly change the image, or I had a watermark like the map of Long Island on the card, and it would slightly change, or you'd see it would get elongated in a certain spot, and it was like, you know, like it would just kind of make mistakes, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking also, when I ask a question, particularly about how to use something on an iPhone, I'm not specifying the model, and there definitely were changes in how to do things from model to model. So that may be why, you know, one could reference an iPhone 12 and one could reference an iPhone 16, and and that's where there might have been that discrepancy. If you look at the covers of the log, they are all created by AI and modified by George. But some interesting stuff, you know, again, exactly as you're doing, telling them what you want. I find Gemini just the most common. I haven't used Copilot, but I find Gemini to be an easy one to use. And ChatGPT changed to this very informal kind of a thing. And I know I can change it back, and I just haven't gotten to do it. You know, where it's like, I do that, but I don't want my source authority doing that. He'll go, well, that's a good way of doing it. That's a good thought. You know, very informal kind of a conversation. And when I'm asking questions, I would just prefer it to be a little more formal. But it is such amazing stuff. And, you know, you wonder if we're heading in some direction to like a war game where the computers will take over the battle and we'll have an Armageddon or something like that. It's really scary. It's exciting and scary at the same time. K2K and me.
K2DOI. Yeah, I'm getting off of my exit here, so I may start to lose you. But yeah, it is. It is exciting. It is a little bit concerning. You know, I guess it's a matter of what we give it access to and what we, you know, sort of rely on it for. Hopefully not too much, you know. But yeah, each one is a little different. Each one's got nuances and, like you said, can be formal or informal. So, it's crazy. So. All right, Rich. I'm pulling into my garage. So I will say 73. You have a good day. Hopefully you get all that ironed out with your credit card.
Yeah, by the way, one of the false credit charges reported by the scammers is in Stamford, Connecticut. Oh, there you go. Well, have lunch on me, Craig. No problem at all. Anyway, yeah, have a good day. Great talking to you. K2K and me.
Good talking to you as well. This is KE2DOY, I'll be clear.
Yeah, the patient out there with its own. We just try not to do that. And I think it's, if you're on a Baofeng, I think it's because your keypad is locked. I'm not sure that's what I can use, but please try to get that tone off of your radio, if you can.
W2VL repeater.
Hi Richie, how you doing?
Doing good, what about yourself?
Very good, I gotta go for my MRI tomorrow.
When is your wife going for the second eye? What, wasn't it this week or next week?
Next week.
Okay. And what did you say, you're going for an MRI tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, and what is that going to be for? Hopefully everything will be okay with that. What's the light? Are you outside now?
No, I'm watching the TV. Channel 5.
Well, I think I actually have to talk a little louder for you.
I'm watching Channel 5.
Well, when you're inside, are you still using an HP or you have a base station?
HP.
Okay. What kind of plans for today?
I'll probably take a walk down at the park.
If anybody's out there, anybody want to stop and say good morning? Yeah, this is KCKMB. Anybody want to say good morning?
Richie, I gotta go. I gotta say 73. I got something to do. K2UJM out. Have a nice day.
All right, Paul, you too. But Paul, again, you really have to speak up louder because you're speaking so softly. I'm picking you up because I'm in a base station at the house. It's quiet. But anybody in the car, they're not going to hear you. So you got to get into the habit of speaking a little bit louder. All right, K2KMB, have a good day.
K2GJM out.
Mark InfoNet.
Morning, Jose. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Got in at about 7 a.m. Finished up an order that I started Friday. And going through the queue. Looks like it's going to be a slow week.
I haven't been out yet. Is it cold?
Well, to me it feels good. I usually like this time of the year. But yeah, it's a bit chilly. It's not windy. But it's a little crisp.
Yeah, it's the difference in the age, Jose. I hate the cold. Not that I hate it, I just can't take it anymore. You know, I've said a couple times before, my brother used to go to her house, she had the temperature set in the house like 78, you know, with like a sauna in there. And I said, you know, never going to do that, but here I am. I would prefer, well, I don't know, 78 would probably be a little warm, but normally we would have tried to keep the house.